Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Antique E Show. This is an encore performance of the great show we had on Sunday with a panelist of great people, a magazine editor. We also had an administrator from a history department out of a high school in New Jersey. We had the owner of an independent-owned bookstore out of Philadelphia, PA, named Larry Robbins. And we had Judy Bell Raines, the bookworm of New York City, who is also a television host and college professor and high school guidance counselor. All of these people joined together this past Sunday to discuss the holiday, Juneteenth Day, which is a black holiday. And the holiday is catching on throughout this nation. We have a gentleman minister who's been a great proponent of the holiday. And we think that you should learn more about Juneteenth because it's right around the corner. Juneteenth is June 19th. And this is a day that blacks recognize the blacks who were informed of their freedom almost 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. It's a great story, and I'll let you listen to the story on your own by listening to our panelists. Again, my name is Leslie Gist. I am the author of a book entitled The Gist of Freedom is Still Faith. The book is about the Underground Railroad and my 10-year quest to find out if I'm related to Peter Gist, which happened to be William Steele's long-lost enslaved brother. That's how I came about the title of The Gist is Still Freedom. The Gist of Faith is Still Freedom. So I'll start off with a little bit of music, a little introduction music to our bookworm, Judy Bell Raines segment, which she will tell you about the best places to go to find out more about the hottest books. She's always around the nation visiting and joining different book clubs and going to book fairs and trade shows. So let's listen to her intro. Thank you.
Okay, Leslie, well, as you know, the Book Expo America comes to New York City once every 3 years. And this year, of course, is at the Jacob Javits Center, and it's going to be a big, big event. The Jacob Javits Center, for those of you that don't know, it's at 655 West 34th Street off 11th Avenue. And if you're a bookseller, a bookstore person, an educator, a librarian, you could come in for a one-day pass. It's $80, and a three-day pass is $130 to get in. And once you're in, from 9 to 5, all the books are free. Yes, there's going to be over 500 authors at this event. 500 authors. I have no idea how many publishers. This is the largest trade show in the country. Next year, it will be in Los Angeles, and the year after, it will be in Washington, D.C. If you wish to check out the website, it's www.bea.com, and you'll get a lot more information. There will be specific seminars if you're looking to learn how to publish your work, or you want to have breakfast with an author, or you want to have lunch. Those are separate events. But once you get a pass with your name on it to enter that day for the event, everything inside is free. There's no, you're not paying for the books. A lot of these books are books that won't be out for 6 months. So a lot of famous authors, Walter Dean Myers and his son will be there. Omar Tyree will be there. I understand Carl Weber. There's even an African-American pavilion on the main floor.
Okay. Judy, tell them what they should bring. Tell them, talk to them as if you were talking to me.
Oh, definitely. If you're coming, if you decide to come and you pay your $80 for a one-day pass to be in there from 9 to 5, I strongly suggest you bring the biggest suitcase on wheels that you can find, the largest suitcase, because people are giving you all kinds of books of different genres, from series. You'll be getting all kinds of cards from people letting you know whether or not they come to schools or churches to speak, different publishers and what they do. Sometimes you get T-shirts, sometimes you get canvas bags. So you're not allowed to bring your suitcase on the floor. There's a section where you check where the bags are checked, and they give you canvas bags, similar to when you go into the store Old Navy. You load up, and when your shoulders get too heavy, everybody, just go to the main area and fill your suitcase up and then go back on the floor.
Caller 757, you're on air.
Hi, this is Jerry Butler. How are you?
Great. Jerry, this is, of course, your dear friend Leslie.
How well I know. And, I just wanted to say, Judith, it's indeed a pleasure to be here on this monumental day with Leslie. And also, I just love hearing you disseminate all that great information about the event that's going to be happening in New York. And right now I'm looking for a suitcase to see how I can get on that floor and get me all the books I can.
I hear you.
Okay. Now,
a member of Sugar and Spice Book Club, www.sugarandspicebookclub.com. I'm trying to remember, .com, .org, .com. We have an event site, and we have the listing there of the Jacob Javits convention, the book convention, the Harlem Book Fair, which is July 18th on 135th Street and Malcolm X Boulevard from 9 in the morning till 6 p.m. And, of course, before the 18th, the 17th, they have the Wheatley Awards, the Phyllis Wheatley Awards that evening, celebrating the latest in literacy. So you have that event, and you have the National Book Club Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, which is an outstanding event. It's that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 1st and 2nd. I suggest people come down on the 31st to Atlanta. It's in the Marriott, downtown Atlanta, up the street from the Gladys Knight Waffle and Chicken Restaurant.
Mm.
And they will have Patti LaBelle. You will have an honoring of Dr. Cornel West. You will have a number of well-known and new authors coming out to speak to the book clubs, to speak to people that are avid readers, to let them know what's out there and what they should be reading to be in touch.
Now, Sugar and Spice, is that S-U-G-A-R-A-N-D or S-U-G-A, okay, Sugar and Spice. Now, have you deciphered whether it's .org or .com? What is it?
It's bookclub.com.
Sugar and Spice Book Club.
Yes. But Sugar and Spice, I'm sorry, I got the card. Bookclub.org.
Okay, that's www.sugarandspicebookclub.org. Now, is there a number for any listeners to actually call if they are requesting any additional information, Judy?
Well, They can call me on my cell, 917-292-9810. They could also email me at my own website, which is my name, Judy, J-U-D-I, as in Judy, Bell, B-E-L-L-E, R-A-I-N-E-S, at AOL.com. Because there's so many book events. We just missed the book event that was in Texas recently, the Black Book Festival, which I believe this is their fifth or sixth annual festival, and it was held in Houston, Texas, I believe, and there were a lot of authors there, and there was a lot of success last weekend. That want to collect rare books. Some people are into collecting rare books, or they're trying to get books that are out of print.
Right.
The Strand Bookstore on 828 Broadway in Manhattan on 12th Street is a great resource for buying new, used, and rare books, and they're reasonably priced. I went in there the other day and bought a book for a quarter. I mean, it's unbelievable. The resources that we have at our fingertips that many of us aren't aware of, and, of course, you can email www.strandbooks.com, and you can ask if they have a particular book before you go down there. Their phone number is 212-473-1452. Email is www.
Well, that's the website.
The website, .strandbooks.com. The address to get there is 828 Broadway on 12th Street in Manhattan, New York.
The phone number
is 212-473-1452, and in under one roof you have 8 piles of new, used, and rare books.
How much did you purchase that book for? We want to hear that again.
Poetry book for 25 cents. I mean, you know, they've got it all. The price range is just, it's unbelievable. Then you've got the Gotham Bookmark, which reopened on 16 East 46th Street. And their phone number is 212-719-4448. It's called the Gotham, G as in go.
Yeah, I got that.
C-H-A-M, bookmarked. It had closed. It used to be on 1747th Street. Now it's reopened at 16 East 46th Street. The phone number there is 212-719-4448. They too are known for their used and rare books. If you're trying to get first editions by, I'm a Richard Wright, Langston Hughes, Dr. Maya Angelou fan. I got a lot of Richard Wrights on sale, some for $4, first editions, some with $25. The prices vary. These are great places. And if you happen to be taking a course and in the neighborhood of an Ivy League school like Harvard, Yale, Princeton, anywhere around those schools where you see small bookstores, go in, because a lot of gems for African American history are right in those stores. Very modest, you know, very low price.
Right, right.
Okay, I think those places are great places to have a field trip. Well, I hope you enjoy Judy Bell Rains' segment on where to find the greatest books. And books are very important to me because I think it's a great way for our families, especially African American families, to preserve Black history, to also teach and continue the legacy of Black history within your family. Because, you know, our schools really aren't doing a great job of teaching Black history. So it's really up to us as parents and educators to provide our own youth with private libraries. And thirdly, these books go up in value. If you purchase a vintage books, most likely, most times, they do appreciate in value. So I encourage all listeners to take your children out to old bookstores if you can find any. They're becoming a rarity in our neighborhoods. But if you can find any independent bookstores, please go and visit them. pick up an old book, they smell great. They have a wealth of information, and I usually collect books that are older than 1940, and I go all the way up to the mid-1800s. You can't beat it. The writing is beautiful. Maybe one show soon I'll read some excerpts from some of the books. If you like Shakespearean, Shakespeare doesn't have anything on some of these books that are written by the abolitionists from the Underground Railroad. Another thing I wanted to talk about are the museums. We are suffering from an economic crisis, and a good way to celebrate your summer is to support the museums in your area. Excuse me, if you're visiting some relatives and you're going out of state, excuse me, and you're visiting and you're going out of state, I highly recommend that you find out. Go to my website, The Gist of Freedom, or even just plain old Gist of Freedom. That's G-I-S-T-O-F freedom.com or the, T-H-E, Gist, G-I-S-T, of freedom.com. If you go to either one of those websites, I have a list of museums throughout this country. So if you're visiting people or going on vacation out of the state, go visit a museum. The bookstores within those museums, like in the case of the Schomburg, they have wonderful books. And it's a great trinket. They're great trinkets that you can purchase to remember the trip that you took with your family. I can't stress it enough. The importance of museums, they're priced reasonably, and you learn so much. Your kids will always get an A in their English courses or history courses when it comes to writing research papers and term papers. So these books are great things to have on your shelf and in your little private libraries. Now we'll talk about Juneteenth, the Juneteenth holiday. I have some segments from our show, our great show from Sunday. We had a lot of positive feedback, and I want to share that show with the Blog Talk Radio family. A lot of the people that were listening Sunday were people that I sent blasts to, and I haven't sent any blasts out this week, and I won't send any out until I'm ready with the show for this Sunday coming up. So I'm trying to generate some interest in the Blog Talk Radio family in the show. And what our show is about is we're trying to promote the people who were instrumental in ending slavery. These people are not getting any recognition. And this abolitionist movement, the Underground Railroad, was the first civil rights movement. And it's very special because it was a movement led by men of faith, churchmen, men of all different walks of faith. My book, the Underground, On the Underground Railroad, based on the Underground Railroad, The Gist of Freedom and Still Faith, talks about all the people that helped Peter Gist obtain his freedom. And they weren't just Christians. One man was a Jewish man. And I just thought that it was really great how different people from different walks of faith and different lives, ethnic backgrounds, economic statuses, all came together to help end slavery. And not only to end slavery, but some states, half of the states had abolished slavery without any violence, nonviolently. And we never talk about those northern states and the people that played an important role in ending slavery. You know, we hear about Lincoln all the time, and we hear about Harriet, but there were millions of others who did not get a chance to be recognized in our history books. I mean, my book, I talk about at least 30 to 50 of them. And I just think that we should celebrate them and talk about the people who promoted unity. And it's a great time to promote unity, considering that we have a president which represents unity literally and figuratively. He definitely represents everything as far as his makeup, everything that is great about the United States and how far we've come. So let's listen to my panelists talk about the holiday Juneteenth. Juneteenth was a holiday based on the Emancipation Proclamation. Some people call it Emancipation Day, and it was celebrated from the day of emancipation all the way up to right now. In my book, on my website, you'll see a picture of an actual poster from that era called Emancipation Day. It came out of Ohio. So I won't talk anymore. I will let you listen to this track, Juneteenth, track number one. Thank you and enjoy.
Okay. Well, Juneteenth, it's a holiday that was originally started in Texas on June 19th, 1865. A general from the Union Army, Gordon Granger, actually read the Emancipation Proclamation in Galveston, Texas. And from there, it spread from plantation to plantation. And the interesting thing about this particular day or celebration is that it was the Emancipation Proclamation was first given by President Lincoln in September of 1862 and became effective in January 1, 1863. So it was 2.5 years after the proclamation was given and about 2 months after the Civil War was actually over, when the enslaved Africans, or former enslaved Africans in Texas, got the news. And then the holiday eventually spread as these blacks migrated to other states and areas of the country. It spread throughout the country. So now currently, it became an official state holiday in Texas, effective January 1, 1980, and there are 29 other states that now have it as an official or partial state holiday. And then, out clearly in the African American community, it's celebrated, with families, civic organizations, church organizations, and it's commonly, referred to as Emancipation Day. For African Americans, and then others of goodwill also celebrate with us on that particular day, June 19th.
Mr. Tony Chaitin.
Oh, hi. Yeah, this is Anton Chaitkin, Tony Chaitkin. I'm the history editor for Lyndon LaRouche's magazine, Executive Intelligence Review. The proclamation of the freedom of the slaves in Texas, which took place by the time when the Union troops took over Galveston, has a very important prehistory, and what followed that was spectacular in its drama and consequences in Texas and throughout for the country. Texas was not taken out of the Union by the people of Texas. There was a coup, a violent coup against the elected governor, Sam Houston, who refused to go against the United States. And he was taken out by the secessionist conspirators, representing the power in the state by this faction. During the Civil War, Galveston, Texas was very important as a place where the British in particular landed their blockade runners, and it was used. It became this element, the combination of the Confederacy and the British, remained an important element long afterwards in Texas, in their politics and in their sort of leadership groups. What happened is right after the war, there was not freedom. In reality, for the black people in Texas or much of the South, especially under President Andrew Johnson, who was a real, he just was he knuckled under completely to the Southern aristocracy. And so when Congress took over the powers of Reconstruction in 1867, and then when General Grant became president, they put some troops down into the South to help enforce the freedom that was, you know, that was declared at the end of the Civil War. In Texas, there were two men in particular that were crucial in this process. One of them was a black political leader named Matthew Gaines, G-A-I-N-E-S.
All right. That was the first segment. I hope you enjoyed my panelists as they discussed the origins of the holiday Juneteenth. Again, Juneteenth is a historical black holiday. It represents the African Americans who were not told of their freedom when Lincoln made the Emancipation Proclamation. Instead, they were forced to remain in slavery, and they were not allowed to leave Texas until Lincoln sent the troops in, because those Texans at that time refused to acknowledge Lincoln or his proclamation. You know, they thought that Lincoln was crazy, and they weren't going to abide by it. So in Galveston, Texas, Lincoln had to send the troops in to free these blacks by force, because Texas wasn't going along with it. So now we have several states in our great country beginning to acknowledge this holiday. And this holiday was unofficially celebrated throughout the country and black communities all over. Many of the black communities referred to Juneteenth Day as Emancipation Day, and they had extravagant parties. I mean, you had balls, and you had various types of parties and parades. Throughout my book, The Gist of Freedom is Still Faith, I have photographs from newspapers from their era, which show how these folks knew how to party. So I wish we would celebrate it to the extent that they did. And when they celebrated, they celebrated within their communities. Remember, this was a time when people were willingly segregated, not by force. And so you had parties being held at black-owned hotels and black-owned places of hotels and restaurants and things of that nature. So when I looked at the newspaper and I seen all these pictures, I was just really excited to see and surprised to see just how hard blacks were partying on Emancipation Day. So what I have now, I have three tracks. Each track is about 5 minutes long. And you're listening to the Antique E Show. I'm Leslie Gist, author of The Gist of Freedom is Still Faith, a book based on the Underground Railroad. And we're celebrating Juneteenth Day, and we're trying to inform the public about the holiday, Juneteenth, which is celebrated on June 19th. You're listening to my panelists. This is a recording from a show that we had on Sunday, and I took excerpts from the show to share with you throughout the week, just to let you get a tidbit of what you missed. And Sunday, coming this Sunday, we're scheduled to have a gentleman named Philip. He is a television producer of a show out of Queens, Queens, New York, called Fade to Black. And we're also going to have Dr. Metters from William Patterson University, a history professor. And he wrote a book on the Underground Railroad. And his book is about how Philadelphians, which were most of them born free, were stolen from slave kidnappers who came over the Mason-Dixon line and just stole black people that's walking around the street for profit. And the stories that he wrote about were all great stories because these people eventually recovered and were able to prove that they were born free and they were never slaves and they were able to go back to living a life of normality. And that's the great story about the Underground Railroad. You know, many people, especially my black brothers and sisters, when they hear about the slave era or the Underground Railroad, they think they're going to hear another sad, drugged-out story of defeat. But it's not true. The stories of the Underground Railroad that I wrote and many of the people that I know have written about the Underground Railroad, these are the most triumphant stories that you can ever read. They're inspirational and they're divine. I mean, for someone during slavery, to be able to find their way to the north and sometimes as far as Canada without any kind of electronic gadgets that we now use and can't even use successfully to get to the other side of town, these people didn't have any assistance. And the only thing I could think of that could have helped guide the people on the Underground Railroad is God. And I attribute the Underground Railroad and all those who worked on the Underground Railroad as people working to fulfill God's mission. So it's a very spiritual story to me, and Juneteenth is a spiritual holiday. And we don't have too many holidays outside of Thanksgiving that really reflect our Christian values as a nation. You know, Christmas is for us as Christians, but Juneteenth not only celebrates our Christians and our Christians' beliefs, but Juneteenth celebrates our Christian values so that we welcome anybody of faith that exercises a Christ-like life, then I think Juneteenth would be a holiday that would encompass those individuals as well. As I mentioned earlier, there was a Jewish man that helped Peter Gist. His descendants would love to celebrate Juneteenth, and in fact, many of them do. And I can say that because I went to Ohio, and I actually was a part of an all-white abolitionist celebration for the 200th anniversary of the abolitionist movement in Ohio. In this church, a Presbyterian church, these individuals were celebrating the involvement that their descendants and their, not their descendants, their ancestors were involved with the Underground Railroad. They were proudly celebrating what their ancestors had done to contribute to the abolishment of slavery. So I think those people from Ohio, the Presbyterian church that I helped celebrate, on the Underground Railroad movement with, I think they would love to celebrate Juneteenth Day. So listen, sit back, and enjoy track number 2 as Larry Robbins from Philadelphia's oldest independent bookstore, Mr. Tony Chaitin, a magazine editor, discuss Juneteenth and how Jim Crow was put in effect to put a wedge between the black and whites because they had suffered a loss to that unity. So they decided to create this Jim Crow law and movement to make sure that that unity that blacks and whites showed throughout the Civil War, they wanted to make sure that would never, ever happen again. So they started passing laws to separate us. So let's listen to track number 2.
There were 2 men in particular that were crucial in this process. One of them was a black political leader named Matthew Gaines, G-A-I-N-E-S. He had been a slave who had escaped repeatedly. He taught himself to read with smuggled books. And it's important to note that there were no public schools in Texas for anyone before the Civil War under slavery, and that was the condition throughout the South. The Southern life was totally a decadent society. There was nothing good about it. And so this Gaines became a state senator after emancipation under the protection of the United States in the Reconstruction era, and helped to put into power in Texas a governor named Edmund Davis, who had been a pro-union Texas leader, who put together a Union army unit from Texas. So these were loyal people, loyal to the United States, and the most spectacular thing they did, taking advantage of emancipation and of protection from the U.S., was they established the first public school system in Texas. That is, for the whole state, they began building public schools and training teachers for whites and blacks. White people never had any public schools before this largely black-influenced state government was happening in Texas. Same thing was going on in other states like South Carolina. But there was a struggle for power, and especially after this terrible U.S. President Rutherford Hayes got in, he took the troops out of the South. These people were overthrown in Texas. There were false charges put in by the Klan elements against both these people, and Gaines was thrown out of politics, and the public schools were closed. And the public schools in Texas really never came back into existence in any real sense until the time of Franklin Roosevelt.
Anyone on the panel have anything to add to what Tony is saying?
Yeah, this is Larry. All of public education was founded at the Civil War at this point. I mean, you know, people don't think about it, but so much of the struggle for black rights has benefited poor whites. I mean, things like public education didn't exist for anyone until Reconstruction and the attempt to to supply public education. But the public education was for everyone, black and white.
Right.
The real scandal is if you go to the Texas government websites today and look up these people. Yes, they have a public celebration of the Juneteenth, but in fact, if you look up Matthew Gaines and if you look up Texas Governor Edmund Davis, you'll see that the same slanders that the Klan did against them in those days are still up there. They're the official history, which is totally false.
Okay, that's a great segue in for Mr. Larry Robbins. You mentioned in our earlier conversation that you had a book about Jim Crow. This is
it's the same period that he's talking about, where at the end of Reconstruction, and this guy, a very famous historian, Woodward, wrote a book called The Strange Career of Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people kind of were thinking that segregation always existed, but in fact, under Reconstruction, there wasn't segregation. And what developed was Tom Watson developed this agrarian movement, and it was bringing together black and white sharecroppers to challenge the big landowners. And what Woodward shows is how Jim Crow was created to divide the black and white sharecroppers and break that movement by instituting a system of racism.
Okay. And what is the name of the book that you're referring to?
The Strange Career of Jim Crow.
The Strange Career of Jim Crow. Who was it written by?
Woodward is his last name.
Woodward.
He's a famous historian.
Okay. That was track number two. You will listen to Larry Robbins, the independent bookstore owner. He owns the oldest independent bookstore in Philadelphia. You also listen to Tony Chaitin. He's a magazine editor out of Virginia. And earlier, if you heard the first track, that was Will Worley, a historian and history administrator out of Newark, New Jersey. Again, we're talking about Juneteenth holiday And we were also talking about how we should celebrate not just Juneteenth, but we should celebrate and acknowledge all the people who helped to abolish slavery. We celebrate Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King. That is a civil rights movement, of course. But the first civil rights movement, based on humanitarian needs and humanitarian problems, was the Underground Railroad and abolishment of slavery. And I think that it's time for us to give them the recognition that they deserve, so that we can show the children that unity does work. And it worked during the abolitionist movement, and it's currently working in this presidential administration that we have right now. America is revisiting what we've done in the past by showing that blacks and whites can get together and make a difference in our country and put to rest a lot of the myths of the power of segregation and the power of fighting. So I really, really appreciate the Underground Railroad and all the books that I can learn from, and I think we should promote them. This is the last track, and it's about 5 minutes. Talks about the Juneteenth holiday and Jim Crow. If you want to learn more about Jim Crow and the Brown versus the Board of Education, I have several videos in the Amistad vessel. All these subjects, I have placed videos on my YouTube channel. I have two YouTube channels. Let me correct myself. My YouTube channels are Leslie, L-E-S-L-E-Y, the letter N, the letter U, tube.com. Again, it's Leslie, L-E-S-L-E-Y, N, YouTube. And that N is spelled Leslie, L-E-S-L-E-Y, the letter N, the letter U, tube. And the other channel I have is the, T-H-E, gist, G-I-S-T, of, O-F, freedom, F-R-E-E-D-O-M, .com. That is a channel on YouTube. I also have on those YouTube channels the Whinings. I'm a big Whinings fan. If you don't know who the Whinings are, not the comedians, not the Wayans. The Whinings. The Whinings are like the gospel, the temptations of gospel. They have beautiful music. You can understand the lyrics. And I have about 5 videos of the Whinings on my YouTube channels, along with Lincoln's speech, the House Divided speech is on there from a movie from the 1940s called Lincoln in Illinois. It's a great speech, and it's verbatim. It's the actual speech, word for word, that Lincoln said when he was alive. I also have a documentary of Jim Crow, of how Jim Crow originated, a physical man, Jim Crow, and it's awesome. You need to watch that for yourself. I have a video on Charles Hamilton Houston. Charles Hamilton Houston was Thurgood Marshall's mentor, and he was the one that helped Thurgood fight Brown versus the Board of Education. And that video is very, very powerful, and I'll tell you more about it later, how I came across it. But I'll give you this much information. While preparing for a talk in Philadelphia for a women's organization and an Underground Railroad museum, I decided to pay tribute to the judge that married me in Philadelphia. Her name is Juanita Kidd Stout. She was the first African-American to be appointed to the Supreme Court of Philadelphia, Supreme Court of Philadelphia. While researching Juanita Kidd Stout's commencement address, 1990 commencement address, at Delaware State College where we met, I came upon her in this video about the Brown versus the Board of Education case. Juanita Kistap married me in her home. She was very special to me, and I didn't know how instrumental she was in that case until I watched this documentary. And the documentary shows a video that Charles Hamilton Houston made to prove to the courts the disparity between the white schools and the black schools. So he actually took his camera out and filmed the white schools and the black schools, and that helped him win the case. Well, it helped Thurgood Marshall. So I have the actual video that Charles Hamilton Houston used in the Thurgood Marshall case on YouTube, and I didn't even know what I had until I prepared for this talk in Philadelphia. I had it in my collection, but I didn't know where it came from or why it was even produced. So when I discovered that on the eve of the talk, I was ecstatic. So I'm not going to talk any more about Charles Hamilton Houston and YouTube, but if you want to learn more, my YouTube channel has a lot of exciting videos. This is the last excerpt. It's about 5 minutes, and again, it's about Juneteenth and the origins of Jim Crow. Thank you.
Where, at the end of Reconstruction, and this guy, a very famous historian, Woodward, wrote a book called The Strange Career of Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
And people kind of were thinking that segregation always existed. But in fact, under Reconstruction, there wasn't segregation. And what developed where, at the end of Reconstruction, and this guy, a very famous historian, Woodward, where, at the end of Reconstruction, and this guy, a very famous historian, Woodward, wrote a book called The Strange Career of Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people kind of were thinking that segregation always existed. But in fact, under Reconstruction, there wasn't segregation. And what developed was Tom Watson developed the Segarian movement, and it was bringing together black and white sharecroppers to challenge the big landowners, and what Woodward shows is how Jim Crow was created to divide the black and white sharecroppers and break that movement by instituting a system of racism.
All right, anyone want to add to the Jim Crow conversation? And Tony, I want to thank you for giving us that great information on Juneteenth, and we're not finished with you. I hope you can stay on.
Okay,
anyone else?
So in Texas, once the Congress put in the Reconstruction laws and put troops down there with President Grant sending them, then the people in Texas set up a government that was largely sparked by a black politician named Matthew Gaines.
How do you spell his name?
MatthewGaines.
Okay, what did he do?
He was born in 1840 and died in 1900. He was a Republican state senator, he was a state senator in the state legislature, but that was so important because that state, that group of political leaders, with him as the effective leader of the black population in Texas, was the main force behind a governor named Edmund Davis, who had been Edmund Davis, D-A-V-I-S. He was governor of Texas back in that period around 1870. I don't have in front of me the exact dates. But they when they came in, they took advantage, for example, of a law passed by Lincoln and the Congress to set up state colleges. They set up the Texas A&M College. And it's really due to particularly to Matthew Gaines, and they're trying to set up a statue to his honor on that campus. They never honored him before. But they also set up public schools for the state of Texas. And the former Confederate leaders organized in the Ku Klux Klan tried to stop all of this progress and tried to stop the establishment of a state college or a public school system for white people as well as for black people. They wanted a feudalism. So this is a great struggle that took place. And finally, after the U.S. Pulled the troops out of the South under a corrupt president, Rutherford Hayes, who was backed by Wall Street and the British, the Klan element was put in charge again. The old Confederate element was put back in charge in Texas and other states, and they abolished the public schools that had been set up by this great government.
Okay,
so this
great.
Is a very important struggle with ramifications to our present day.
You got that right. Now let's go back to Larry Robbins. Explain how the book that you highly recommend for our audience to purchase, explain how that ties in to Juneteenth Day and what Tony was just talking about. Larry?
Yeah. I'm sorry. So there's a book called The Strange Career of Jim Crow. And the reason this historian wrote it is because people kind of assume that segregation always existed. And the fact is that the things Tony was talking about took place throughout the country. There were black legislatures in all of the southern states. Yeah, with the backing of the army, there was a total changeover in how things were being run. And there was the beginning of a movement called a populist movement with a fellow by the name of Tom Watson leading it, that was bringing together black and white sharecroppers to organize to resist these huge landowners who had run the former plantations, who, once slavery was over, wanted to maintain the system. And he was being successful, and there was this large populist movement going throughout the South. And what happened is they created this racist, segregationist caricature of Jim Crow to break up this movement to get whites to basically abandon the progressive movement and working with blacks for everyone's betterment. The story doesn't end. I mean, it's the same stuff's going on today, the same things Tony's talking about.
Okay, we have a question.
Also, just going on today, both in Texas and throughout the country.
All right, the name of the book is The Strange Career of Jim Crow.
Of Jim Crow, right.
You're speaking to Larry Robbins, Tony Chaitin, the finance doctor, Mr. Jerry Butler. We also have on Will Worley, the historian, high school administrator. All right, that was the last track. We're down to our last 6 minutes. And I just want to tell you, I had a great time. I hope you enjoyed the information. I hope you'll come back and visit us on Sunday at 5:30. We will be listening to and talking to. They'll be live on the line. On Sunday, we'll have Dr. Metters, William Patterson University of New Jersey. He is a history professor, and he wrote a book entitled The Kidnappers of Philadelphia, and it's based on the kidnappings that occurred prior to 1850, the 1850 fugitive slave law. 1850 was very important to the abolitionist movement, because prior to 1850, if a slaveholder went across the Mason-Dixon line and stole a free black person, they could be arrested, and many of them were, as in this book. You'll learn more about it. Many of those slave catchers were arrested, fined, and put in jail, and forced to work and perform hard labor. So after 1850, once the Democrats, which was pro-slavery, gained power in Congress, they changed the law, the Fugitive Slave Law, which was originally written in 1792. They changed the law to instead of helping blacks maintain their freedom, they changed it and rewrote it so that it would in fact help the pro-slavery and the pro-slaveryites enslave free blacks. And the 1792 warrant said that, and if you thought that someone had committed a crime, the law required that you would have to go and obtain a warrant. You just couldn't finger somebody, accuse someone of any crime, and especially a crime of being a fugitive slave, without seeking the court's assistance. Well, when 1850 came along, the pro-slavery politicians changed the law to say that that was no longer a requirement. If you're familiar with Dred Scott is based on the 1850 Fugitive Slave Law, which says if you captured a black person in Philadelphia, that black person had no rights that a white person had to abide by in order to prove that the black person was a slave or if he was born free. So in 1850, slave catchers were running rampant in the North, gathering up as many free blacks as they could and stealing them, tricking them. Some of them were being tricked. Some were just being stolen by force and sent back into the South and sold as slaves. So this book talks about a lot of the stories of people that were rescued from these kidnappers. This book is The Kidnappers of Philadelphia, written by Dr. Metters. It's an exciting book. I read a few of the stories, and I can't wait to get off this phone so I can continue to read the rest of the book. By Sunday, I will have read it. So, again, join us Sunday. Dr. Metters will be on, along with the television producer of the show called Fade to Black, and my panelists will be here to help me ask questions and learn more about these subjects. So, again, I'm going to sign off right now with some OJs from the Sounds of Philadelphia. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your week. And I look forward to hearing you and speaking to you on Sunday. Have a good one. Come on.
Come on.